Before I introduce the Toastmaster, I'd like to make a little ceremony out of the opening. I'd like to call on the guest of honor of last year's Festival of Filth, Alan Lipscott, the Meshuggah of Methuselah, the oldest comedy writer living or dead during the past two centuries. Lippy, will you throw out the first word, please?
Fuck.
Lippy, thanks for filling in tonight for Billy Graham. Well, last year we didn't have any problem in choosing our guest of honor. But this year we decided who can follow Lippy, and it gave us quite a problem. Who could be older? So we went out and found somebody who was. Wedlock and Snyder are 98. So we're gathered here tonight to celebrate their 30 years together. We're going to sketch their career from their humble beginning on Wall Street, up and up, one success after another, to their present state of unemployment. Certainly their name is known, or their name is Legion, wherever rewriting is known. Now I'd like to present our esteemed Toastmaster. I say esteemed Toastmaster because it's back on the plug list. Let me say something nice. Hal Kanner is a man of many talents. He's also a writer, director, and a producer. That's Hal Kanner.
Thank you very much, Margie. It's really deeply gratifying for me to have been asked to act as Toastmaster this evening, and this tremendous turnout of friends of Howard's and Huey's. At any rate, I find that once again, I'm in the spot of Toastmaster for these dubious festivities. The custom of paying tribute to comedy writers, for whatever the reason, seems to me a genuinely good one. For the comedy writer is a man who makes a valuable contribution to our stripes-torn society. Too often, all of us are so immersed in the problems of our own craft that we lose sight of the happiness that we create for millions of people. At this very moment, some of our words are being performed on television screens across the nation. Somewhere tonight, a harassed, bone-weary working man, home from the mill, sits chuckling in front of a television set, watching one of our shows. And his gnarled hand reaches across to the arthritic, toil-creased hand of his wife. And he says to her in moving tones, "Honey, turn off that shit and let's fuck." Over the course of years, many men have formed literary partnerships which have produced entertainment of varying brilliance. Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur, Moss Hart and George S. Kaufman, Nat Hiken and the Writers Guild of America East. Tonight, we honor two men who celebrate their 30th year of collaboration. Collaboration. that was once defined by one of our elder wits as two men fucking the same dog. Here we have a brace of brilliant craftsmen who have conjured comedy for such stars as Stuart Irwin. Walter O'Keefe. Block and Sully. Lum and Abner. And the immortal Ginny Sims. Why do we honor Wedlock and Snyder, the Panama and Frank of yesteryear? The Singer and Chevalier of tomorrow. Is it because of their contributions to culture? Certainly not. We're here tonight because after testimonial dinners to Al Lewis, to Sherwood Schwartz, to Alan Lipscott, Seaman Jacobs realized he could make more money as a caterer than as a writer. Now, in looking over the speakers' table this evening, you'll notice that this year, in addition to writers, we also have some A-C-T-O-R-S. Now, this is unusual, actually, because in the past, with the exception of Lipscott's dinner, we had only writers at the speaker's table. Of course, at Lippy's dinner, we also had his proctologist present. That actually was for safety's sake. In the event that Lippy felt faint during the evening, his proctologist was there to feed him through his finger. Incidentally, Lippy, you'll be eased to know that your proctologist is here again with us this evening. He's the salad chef. Don't be too alarmed, though. Those were croutons in the salad. And this brings us to our first speaker of the evening. When I first heard the name Sherwood Schwartz, I thought they were talking about Robin Hood's rabbi. You can imagine my disappointment several years later when I found out that Robin Hood wasn't even Jewish. Friar Tuck was a fag. They all were. That's why they were called merry men. So, ladies, or rather gentlemen, you fooled me there, a couple of you in the back. I give you Mr. Sherwood Schwartz.
We've been told that this party tonight is in honor of Wedlock and Snyder's long association. Well, I think it's a little more than that. These fellows are perfectly normal. There's nothing peculiar about their relationship whatsoever. Besides, lots of writers like to work with the door locked. And now, if I can get serious for a moment, Huey, Howard, I hope that this 30-year celebration turns out to be only the midpoint in your partnership.
Our next speaker was a gentleman that we honored at least one wag is described as a testosteronial dinner last year. Because Lippy has already made a brief appearance here this evening, throwing out one word which to him is only a memory. But we must indulge this generation its reminiscences. The only thing I can say by way of introduction now is, gentlemen, here is the Dr. Townsend of the typewriter, the Dean of Comedy Writers, Gunga Lipscott.
Right now, I'd give all my residuals and the Ipana troubadours to be in an oxygen tent. What greetings I got when I came in here tonight. One fellow said, "Gee, you're still around?" Another fellow said, "Last year I was at your memorial." I got some memorandums here, which I took out of Huey's wastebasket that he sends to Wedlock. I had to get them from the janitor. Says, "Call me a schmuck, but I won't write on spec for Spade Cooley." Dick Fischel called, "Whitney's cotton gin is not a plug." Balls. Weber and Fields called. They want their deposit back. Shirley Temple called. She wants to know if you have an old fairy tale in your trunk. Right now, the boys are writing a book about their agent. It's called, "Where Did He Go? Out. What Did He Do? Nothing." And so, I want to wish a lot of health and success to two of the most original writers since Cy Howard. Wedlock and, fuck them.
One of the smartest writers in the business is Sam Kurtzman. He was smart enough to get the hell out of the business. He once wrote for such brilliant stars as Al Jolson, Bob Hope, and Eddie Cantor, all the while saving his money and working his way through dental school. Today, seriously, when you go to his office, Sam is still full of comedy. When you sit in his chair, he ad-libs lines until you laugh. Then, when you're laughing, he quickly and deftly sticks that goddamn instrument in your mouth. Later, he takes it out, zips up his pants, and starts to work on your teeth. Gentlemen, here is that happy, happy dentist, Dr. Samuel Kurtzman.
Tonight we are honoring the team of Wedlock and Snyder, and I know that every one of you is interested in finding out everything possible about this team. So I imagine you're interested in knowing about their teeth. Between the two of them, they have a pretty good upper left second molar. But the thing about them is, when they come into the office, you know, they really bring sunshine in. And it's so wonderful. The other day I was working on Huey, and just without any reason at all, he said to me, "Sam, if you drill any further, you're going to strike oil." Now, that's funny. And another time, I was examining Howard's mouth. And just examining, not doing anything else. And he said to me, "Sam, I bet you're going to tell me the teeth are good, but the gums will have to go." Now, that's very funny material, you know. And I have an idea that the reason why a lot of you fellas haven't been in my office yet is you just can't follow this kind of stuff. So, in all due respect to these two gentlemen, I enjoy their coming to my office. And I know that they must enjoy coming to my office, too, because they like me, I think, as a dentist, because they send their best friends to me. Just last week, they sent me Cy Howard and Jack Parr. They must love me, and I love them. Thank you.
I think we should point out that Dr. Kurtzman is here this evening after a very arduous day in the office. He had a very delicate operation today. Lou Holtz, who was also one of his patients, came in, and Sam had to extract an impacted cunt. Our next speaker is a man who has known Huey and Howard longer and perhaps better than anyone in this room. But he came here anyway. Years ago, the three of them were Broadway press agents. And because, just to point out what a splendid job all of them did, today the whole world knows Broadway. But in his long and brilliant career as a comedy writer, our next speaker, oddly enough, has written for only three comedians: Bob Hope, Jack Benny, and Pinky Lee. It's not the Pinky Lee that you're thinking of. So this Pinky Lee, his Pinky Lee, never quite made it. Gentlemen, I give you a writer, a scholar, and a golfer who would have been barred from Lakeside even if he were a goy, Milton Josephsburg.
First of all, before I get on to the speech that I prepared, I want to correct Alan Lipscott, who said that the boys are writing a book, Where Did You Go? The book happens to be, it's being written by Huey's wife, Margie, and it's based on their sex life. It's called Where Did He Go In? Why Did He Do Nothing? The first time I ever heard of Wedlock and Snyder was back in 1930. There was a gag in Mark Hellinger's column, and it said, "Hugh Wedlock Jr. Howard Snyder send in the following joke." I'm going to quote this joke verbatim. The joke was, "How much seasoning does it take to make an old salt?" "Gobs and gobs of it."
No, there was gobs and gobs.
All right. You're a bigger gob than I am, so I can't help it. Most of you are familiar with this joke. And to those of you who haven't heard it, you probably didn't listen to last month's Shower of Stars. Not only that, you probably missed the Cast Daily broadcast of June 4th, 1947. Before closing, I'd like to call attention. I think that's the smartest thing I said all night. Before closing, I want to call attention to the unflagging efforts of the one man who helped make this party a success. The man whose name sounds like a biblical wet dream, Seaman Jacobs. Cy was faced with many problems on this thing, and the most serious was that some of the fellas wanted to have their wives here, and the others felt that they shouldn't. So the guys came over to Cy and said, "Cy, do you think if we had our wives here, it would in any way hurt the entertainment we have arranged?" And Cy said, "No. We might lose the cocksucker sketch, but that's all." And that is all.
Al, I'm a man. amazed at the dough I paid this man.
It was totally unnecessary, too, because he still has the money from Buddy Clark. Our next speaker is really rather unique. He was sent out here in a remarkable effort of the health service, which you may recall, their fight against venereal disease. And it's interesting to note that after 6 months here, the VD rate dropped 17% in New Jersey. So, gentlemen, let's give a clap for Marion Parsonet.
Now, gentlemen, I'm actually here to defend Howard Snyder and Fuck You Wedlock. The fact is, people, you know, Howard's competitors, you writers all say Howard doesn't do any of the writing. They say he lies down, does nothing, while Hugh does all the work. And most of you say it's because he plays around with loose women all the time. Now, I know this not to be... I know it's not true, because I was here when Howard first arrived, and he was a friend of mine. I decided to give him a reception. So I met him at the train. It was train... plane took 48 hours in those days. And I was going to take him to dinner and that kind of thing. And I said, Howard, we'll go to dinner, a couple of nightclubs, and get a couple of girls. And Howard said, Marion's fine. Dinner, great. Nightclub, fine. The girls, no, I'm sorry. And I said, Howard, no, why? And Howard said, three reasons. He said, in the first place, I'm impotent. And the second place...
Tied in, huh?
Yes, tied up with you, kid. Now, seriously, actually, Howard is a great friend of mine, and I have a very high opinion of him. He's honorable, decent, just, courageous, loyal, and I want to thank him right now for being a friend to me. I want to thank him, too, for writing this material.
It's rather interesting to note how our next speaker became a writer. Not too many years ago, he was a school teacher in Brooklyn, New York. It was one of those high schools we've all heard about, one full of insubordination, drinking, marijuana, rape. The Board of Education, of course, wouldn't put up with this sort of thing, so he had to leave. Today, a successful writer. He's also the father of five children. Gentlemen, I give you the man with the golden short arm, Jesse Goldstein.
When Seaman Jacobs asked me to speak tonight, I naturally started to think about the problem of talking of Huey and Howard, and I asked myself the question, why are these two fellows being honored? The answers were immediately obvious: for talent, integrity, loyalty, respect of their fellow writers. These were the obvious answers. They were the wrong answers, but that's all I could think of at the time. It really is very difficult for me to say now what I would like to say about Wedlock and Snyder, because I come at an awkward point in the program. It's now a little bit too late in the show to get laughs with fuck and shit, and I happen to be too nice a guy to say cocksucker. All the good dirty words have been used, and if I say anything clean about them, it's got to be a lie. I've known them for 12 years. It wasn't until a couple or 3 years ago that we worked together for the first time on the Joan Davis show. And believe me, working with Wedlock and Snyder is an experience. However, there was something about the Joan Davis show, truly, that made Wedlock and Snyder look like the greatest eager beavers who ever lived. His name was Phil Sharp. Oh, and speaking of Phil Sharp, he sent a telegram. You know, he's in New York hammering out a script. And he couldn't be here. He sent the telegram, and I've been allowed to read it. It says, "Dear Huey and Howard, sorry I can't be with you on this great occasion, but would like to tell you how I feel. I would like to, but I've been up all night and couldn't think of anything. I need a little more time. We'll wire again tomorrow." Love, Phil. Now, we all know this couldn't have happened if Aaron Rubin had been in town. But anyway, the sentiment is there. Well, I could stand here for quite a long time and try to impress all of you with how funny and clever I can be. But after all, whom am I trying to convince? So I'll just close by saying that all of Hal Cantor's material was written by me.
You're going to see Wedlock and Snyder in action. Snag Warris will play the part of Hugh Wedlock, and Al Lewis will pretend to be Howard Snyder. The setting is their office, a small room in the Al Scalpone Memorial Wing of CBS. And in the immortal words, paraphrase, that Huey and Howard have written so often in so many of their scripts, here comes Huey now.
Howard! 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 Bastard. And I broke my ass to get here by noon. I better call him at home. Information, could you please tell me the number of the Rondaway Bar? I said the Rondaway Bar. Thank you, sir.
Who the hell are you calling in the middle of the night?
I'm calling you. That's who I'm calling. Howard, we've got a script to write. Jesus Christ!
Don't give me that religious shit. Not a wink.
Why not?
I was drinking. We had a big party in the house, and we had a faggot bartender, and he wouldn't serve any of the broads, and I ran my...
All right. I don't want to hear about those miserable details. Look, we've got a lot of work to do. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, let's go to lunch.
Howard, Howard, come here. Where the hell are you going?
How about the farmer's market?
Farmer's market? Jesus Christ! You know we waste too much time over there. Let's go to Cantor's. We'll have a very quick lunch at Cantor's. We'll be back here by 4 o'clock.
Again, Cantor's?
Yes, Cantor's.
That stinking Jew food?
Howard, I'm not Jewish. You are. How can you forget a thing like that?
It's not so big. You want to see it?
No, never mind. Come on, sit down. We got work to
do. Well, look, at least if we went to the farmer's market, we could eat chinks.
Howard, why do you always become mandatory and chauvinistic and discriminatory?
Bullshit! I didn't say I don't like chinks. I like it.
All right. Look, let's not get into another one of those esoteric discussions.
Bullshit!
Because we've got a lot of work to do. You know, we only get 4 weeks to knock out these goddamn Shower of Stars.
Yeah, I know. When's the next one due?
Tomorrow.
Are you pressing?
What do you mean, why are we pressing? We haven't even got an idea. Look, let's do something topical this time, okay?
Has Fischel got anything new on his list?
Yeah, he's got that new thing. He's got king-sized Trojans. You can slip them on over your head.
Can't do it. We have a competitive sponsor.
Look, I have a good idea. Look. Let's just start writing, and then we can get the idea later, okay?
Come as quickly, you can be at the track by the third race.
Will you forget the goddamn horses for once? We need an opening.
Did you ever think of splitting up?
Are you getting out of your mind? Are you going nuts? Why should I be thinking of splitting up? You know I love my wife. Besides, everything is in her name.
I don't mean you and mine. I mean you and I.
It's you and me.
Bullshit. I'm gonna try.
You're gonna try what?
I'm gonna ride alone.
How well, you can't wipe your ass alone.
You'll have a drink.
Well, throw it.
Bullshit.
You know, I'm getting a little sicker.
Sicker? We're entitled. It's not noon yet, for Christ's sake. Are you ready?
You're right.
Shaker in the morning, shaker in the evening, shaker at supper time. Working for those comics, you're a shaker all the time. Hookies in the morning, hookers in the evening, drunken at cocktail time. Dinner with the missus, or bring down all the time. We need broads and whiskey, they get us inspired. When it comes to writing, we are always tired. Oh, liquor in the morning, shaker in the evening, mooning in cocktail time. It takes a lot of talent to not to write a line.
Irish. Irish son of a bitch indeed. Have a little respect. Remember, I'm one of the few comedy writers in this country who still has his foreskin.
Take it out of your mouth and say something funny.
Party, har, har, har. Save that funny shit for the hookers. Well, now, come on, we gotta put something down on paper.
All right. What do you want to put down?
We should level at least with this script.
Why should this be an exception? This is for Benny, isn't it?
Yes, it's for Benny.
So what are you worried about? He has to like it.
What do you mean he has to like it? Why?
You know why as well as I do. We've had that poor bastard by the ball for years.
Ever since we caught him in that Las Vegas motel.
Of course, trying to bugger Death Valley Scotty.
That Benny really likes to ball it up, doesn't he? He's another Alan Lipscott. Look, stop typing, will you please? Come on. That's funny. That's funny. Leave it just that way.
No.
This is so good for the son of a bitch. This is funny. Read it out loud. Let's hear how it plays.
Shower of Stars, page one.
Senator Vimeo. Look, Howard, no, seriously. We have to put something down here. Will you start typing? We really ought to get the script out.
I hate to type. You type.
Me? I can't type.
Then write.
Howard, I can't write. You write.
I can't write.
You can't write either?
No. Oh, shit, it's the cue, isn't it? Are you ready? Anything you can do, I can do better. I can't do anything better than you.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can't write, I can't write better.
I can't write anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can't. I can't write a great line.
I can't write a straight line.
I can't switch a vile joke.
I can't switch a file joke.
I can't write a fucking thing.
You're a wit. Anyone you can con, I can con better.
I can con anyone better than you.
NBC.
ABC.
CBS.
What a mess.
Billy House, that fat louse. What a souse. That son of a...
God!
30 years. You're okay, buddy.
And I alone with you 30 years.
I owe a lot to you. You sweet, neurotic Jew.
You brought me lots of joy. You mother, grandma, go.
We've done quite well.
But who can tell
how far we have gotten had we learned to spell in 28 we teamed. Both skinny and unesteemed, we starred on radio. That's why, although we're fat today, we both say fuck MCA and let the rest of the options go by.
Writers, it's only fair that we give credit where credit is due. The dialogue for that sketch was written by Sherwood Schwartz, Jesse Goldstein, and Leo Solomon. The lyrics were by Sid Culler and Leo Solomon. And when I first met Wedlock and Snyder in November 1938, I'm sure you remember that month. It was in all the calendars at the time. Huey and Howard were writing the Jack Oakey radio show. I'd like you to meet now this wonderful, ebullient star who made over 100 pictures, some of them movies, Mr. Jack Oakey.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Of course, you folks know I don't hear very well, so I'm not hearing a goddamn thing here tonight. A deaf Gentile. Show you how much trouble I'm in. I thought this was for Pine and Thomas. In fact, the hearing is so bad I can't hear myself fart in the morning. But Immerman has given me some pills. I can't hear any better, but I'm farting louder. It's unfortunate, really, that I can't hear, because I know the things I'm not hearing is what you're all laughing a lot of. And what I do hear, I don't understand. Fuck who? However, thank you very much, gentlemen. I'm glad to be included in your little group tonight. God bless the boy.
Our next speaker is a star who has managed to survive the talents of our guests of honor, too. This gentleman is a distinguished ventriloquist. As a matter of fact, he's the only ventriloquist in the business whose voice throws him. The entire world, of course, knows him as the father of Charlie McCarthy. So it's now my pleasure to present this hearty Swede who once fucked an oak tree. The original woodpecker. That Lothario of the lumber camps, Mr. Edgar Bergen.
Well, you've got it pretty well fucked up. It wasn't an oak tree, it was a pussy willow. You guys can laugh if you want to, but how many of you here can honestly say that you've made a fortune playing with your dummy? Well, I'm going to throw just a little of Ophelia at you tonight because, being the only ventriloquist here tonight, I want to let her enjoy this stag party we're having. Your name is Ophelia?
That's right, yes.
Yes. Well, we're rather surprised at having you here tonight.
Yes, well, I've heard so much about riders screwing each other.
Yes.
Thought I'd like to get in on a little of it.
Yes. You're not married, are you?
No, I'm not, no.
No.
No, damn, no, I'm not.
No, mm-hmm. You're not happy as a bachelor girl?
No, I'm not really, no. Mm. I was saying to my daughter the other day.
Oh, I see. Oh, then you.
Oh yeah.
I see. Well, then she's a little.
She's a little bastard, yeah.
Yeah, a little bastard. Yeah, I see. Well, it surprises me a little bit.
She's a nice kid, though.
Yes.
She came in the house the other day, you know, and her dress was torn. She's 12 years old, you know.
Yes.
And she told me what happened.
What happened?
Well, she said a man came up and took her by the arm and took her in the alley.
Oh.
Tore her dress and took her panties off and run his hand over her tits and around her ass.
Yes. You must have been shocked.
Yeah.
What did you tell her?
I said, shut up, child. You're getting me hot.
I see. Well, Well, now, I think, Effie, I want you to tell me if you've ever been really in love.
Well, I had a go at it 7 years ago.
I see.
I met a boy.
That's nice.
Yes.
What was his name?
I don't know. He didn't talk much.
I see. How did you meet him?
I found him under my bed.
Oh.
One night. Oh, Christ, what a night.
Yes. Well, what was his name?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I just called him Lover Boy.
Lover Boy, I see. Well, was he fair? What did he look like? Was he fair? Was he dark?
In the dark, he was pretty fair.
I see. Uh-huh.
Well, we talk.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah. How is it?
It's damn good.
Yeah. Well, now, Wendy, have you seen this Lover Boy last?
I haven't seen him now for 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, the shit, he took a powder.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, then, you haven't seen Lover Boy for 7 years.
No, 7 lonely years.
Yes.
Really lonely? Yes.
Well, I think you've had more than your share.
No.
Of misfortune.
Oh, yeah.
Does anything I can do for you?
You know any boys?
Well, now, I think we ought to see that you get a date with... Would you like to meet with... Well, how about here, Howard Snyder?
What does he look like?
Well, he's sitting right here.
Yeah. My God, it's Lover Boy. Where the hell you been?
All right. There you go, good luck.
In introducing our next speaker, I have some rather voluminous notes here because I must confess that I approach the task with a degree of reverence and respect. Because to both the writing profession and the public, he is indeed the king of comedy. To the public, because of his warmth, his charm, his good taste, his delightful sense of self-effacing humility.
Bullshit.
Well, He finally used something Howard Snyder wrote for. Mr. Jackman.
I think it's lousy to put me on after all the writers when I've paid them thousands of dollars a week to write for me. You know? But I... You know, if I do say something funny tonight, I don't want you to all look over at my writers over there and nod and smile. Because they didn't give me a fucking thing. I really have been so busy and so tired that I did not want to be here tonight, but I had a choice of either appearing here this evening or hiring Wedlock and Snyder for next year. And I'd rather lose my health than my career. I know that having to follow, particularly the stag dinner, is pretty tough because tonight, when the speakers got all through, they only left me with two words, crap and cohabitate. That's why I hate stag dinner. Because the first speaker gets up and he gets all the words in, everything. I hate him. Mary hates him. Mary hates my wife. She hates when I go to a stag dinner. I wouldn't dare tell her I was coming here tonight. She thinks I'm in a whorehouse. Figured what harm can they be just watching, you know? See, Wedlock and Snyder have worked for me for 20 years. And I just got the script last week. But the reason I've had, as Hal says, so few writers, because we have a lot of fun together when we write. I mean, you never see much pressing on our show or anything. We have fun, so we keep going year in and year out. And so besides doing a very, very good job for me, I've gotten to be very, very close to Howard Wedlock and Hugh Snyder. But these fellas are not only writers. They're known, you know, you've heard of a comedian's comedian. Now, these fellas are known as writers' writers. That means that about 200 people like them. But I'm not going to stay on this late too long. So I do want to pay them a great tribute tonight. Not only because of the shower of shit that they've been writing for me every month. Not only as really a great team of writers, but I think they will also admit that we have a lot of laughs and we have a lot of fun, and I want to wish them continued success and hope that I can have their services for many, many years to come. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you very, very much, Jack. I personally am really quite deeply moved to be able to function in this capacity this evening because, sincerely, I'm deeply indebted to both Howard and to Hugh because it was over 20 years ago, actually, that these gentlemen gave me my first opportunity to write comedy in radio. At this point, I can say only that I feel that Howard Snyder must certainly have something to get off his chest, if not off his bladder.
I have both. When this affair was first conceived and broached to me by Seaman Jacobs, I had some qualms about accepting. I've always felt that individually, writers are high-minded, forward-thinking, and generally assets to their own little groups and their societies. But on the other hand, I've always maintained that collectively, when you get them together in a crowd, they're a bunch of pricks. And I think that tonight you'll prove my point. It's very gratifying to see Jack Benny, Edgar Bergen, and Jack Oakey here at the speaker's table tonight. Jack Benny gave us our first job, first big job on his radio show back in 1936. And he has done more for us individually than any other person in this industry, with the possible exception of Mickey Rockford, who 8 years ago gave us our release from MCA. Edgar Bergen brings back memories of a delightful radio show and one of my most pleasant associations. He's a fine gentleman, and he explained to me earlier that he would have brought Charlie McCarthy with him tonight, but Charlie was out getting laid. Now, this might sound impossible, but when you think about it, you got to admit that Charlie has just as good a chance as Edgar. And Jack Oakey was one of our earliest radio bosses. And if Sinatra and Dean Martin think they're nonchalant, let me tell them that Oakey did most of his shows lying down in a remote from a Turkish bath. But I want to thank you all for coming over, and I want to thank the speakers and all my friends for attending these services, and Hal Cantor for being such a fun-loving rabbi. I've been asked by Hal Cantor to introduce Hugh Wedlock. Hugh Wedlock? Get out.
This is the first time that Howard and I have ever had a dinner like this, thank God. This is supposed to be a testimonial. I heard Westbrook Pegler say nice things about Eleanor Roosevelt. Seaman Jacobs said I could get a tape of the show. We could take it home and play it back to our wives. I'd be embarrassed to play this back to Mickey Cohen. I got one real, one story I think is quite appropriate. It's a time that Howard and I met our first agent. It was way back in 1929. This guy had a little hole in the wall, and we thought we'd sign up with the guy. He wasn't a real big agent. He just missed. He had a couple of good acts. Well, he had just Jimmy and Al. He had Will Marston and Sammy Davis Sr. And he had Polly Bergen's father. But he only had him for pictures.
Oh,
Well, we signed with this guy, and nothing happened. One day, Howard and I cornered this guy in Dave's blue room. He had a little hole in the wall in the bond building, you know. We finally found him one night, and we said to him, look at the guy. His name was Guy Martin, maybe some of you know him. A guy who said, look, we're a couple of young guys. We need a strong agent, you know. You're kind of a gentleman. We need a guy that goes in and kicks and shrugs and lies and beats everybody to death. You're such a gentleman.
He looked at us and he says, listen, I'm just as big a prick as any of them. Now, any of my friends out there who are agents, believe me, he wasn't. Pushing out. Anyway, I'm through now, and I really do want to thank everybody. I can't do it individually because I'm sentimental, and if I started to thank individual people, I'd get maudlin. I just do like Dinah Shore says, I love you all. Thank you.